Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the podcast. I hope you're well. It is so hot. Honestly, oh my goodness, I can barely speak. You know exactly what I'm talking about if you're here in the UK. And there was a very funny post on my Sober Club the other day. I won't identify the poster, but she said, not exactly sober related, but definitely exacerbated by being sober. I hate summer. There, I said it. Am I the only person in the world who literally hates it? It's too hot. I can't breathe. I have no desire to do anything in any form of heat. It gives me actual anxiety. So much pressure to make the most of it. I spend my time hiding at home. I wake up and look out the window. Oh no, for fuck's sake, not the sun again. I have to shave and wear self-tan and clothing that exposes skin. When in truth, I'm a winter girl, an autumn girl, a wrap-up in cute jumpers girl, a walk miles in a t-shirt in October girl, a broccoli and Stilton soup girl, a big burner and candle and dark nights girl, where everyone does their own thing. The only time I enjoyed sitting in the sun was when alcohol was involved, and now there is no legitimate reason on the planet. Always planned to move to the northeast of Scotland, or maybe I should consider Iceland. Am I the only person? Oh, it was such a funny post because it so rang true to me, because certainly for years, if you'd have posted that, you know, 5 years ago, I mean, obviously, clearly, I wouldn't have been on a sobriety group. But if someone had posted that 5 years ago, I could have written every word of it. I used to absolutely hate the heat in any form because I was so hot. I don't mean it in that sense. I was just such a hot person, like a mad hot person. I used to do film work, and sometimes there were like night shoots and people would sort of huddle next to me for warmth, you know, because of the heat I gave off. I mean, I now realise, just because I was goddamn well drinking all the time. And what I replied to that poster was, you know, one of the amazing benefits of sobriety is that you can tolerate heat. So much better than before. Well, I don't know if it's that you tolerate heat or whether everything just balances, so everything gets a little more regulated and you know, nothing feels as extreme. You can tolerate the cold, you can tolerate the heat. I find it just, it's so completely different now than it used to be for me, even though I'm still the kind of person that, you know, I'm not good at wearing sleeves in any weather. Because, you know, I don't tend to feel the cold particularly, but I can now cope just about. Having said that, though, this is a bit much. It's a bit much for me, but I really hope you're enjoying it. Anyways, I don't know how you're getting on after the massive big deal of the full moon this week. I hope you enjoyed the podcast that with Davina last week. And I don't know whether you heard it, but it was fantastic, just about moon energies and how we can work with moon energies and how we can sort of recognize what might be going on. And it was so interesting because at the beginning of this week, I had an absolute wobble. I mean, it was just one of those meltdown kind of wobbles. I felt really, really just insecure and just, oh, everything was just really, really difficult. Actually, that's when a group like the Sober Club is so amazing, because you just pop up and ask for a little mini virtual hug and get completely love bombed. But I was just feeling really kind of overwhelmed and very out of sorts. And then I suddenly remembered something that Davina had said. And I listened back to the podcast and I've actually written down her words. And she said, the full moon normally brings something to a combination, to a conclusion or a completion. It can be very emotionally charged. So maybe you're going to get a bust up or have a row or blow out best friends. Then it can get very volatile depending on what sign it is, meaning star sign, how it's aspected astrologically. But the full moon can also be wonderful, have a party, and it's very high energy. But just be aware, it can also be an energy where you can blow up, be over emotional and act out of sorts, fly off the handle for no apparent reason. And that was exactly me at the beginning of the week. It literally described how I felt. And suddenly it made so much sense when I realised, hold on a minute, there's a massive great blood moon going on here. And then Davina said, and then after that full moon, as the cycle comes down and it's waning again, then basically that's a good letting go. So it's good for clutter clearing, getting rid of things you no longer need in your life. Great for clearing the decks, having conversations that have been getting in the way. So I thought on this podcast, actually unusually, rather than have a guest, I thought I'd actually just share a few bits and pieces with you that I've been thinking about this week, that I've been noticing this week, and a couple of messages that popped up in our Sober Club community. Because often I think they're a kind of marker of where people are at. And also in our community, people have such wonderful words of wisdom. So without identifying them, I'm going to, rather than answer everything myself, I'm going to share some of those. But just before we do that, back on the full moon again for a moment, if you're listening to this, this weekend, as it were, just after that full moon, which was at its fullest Friday morning in the UK, it's such a good time to actually, with love and compassion for yourself, you know, not from a place of judgment, ask yourself, what do I want to release? What, you know, with the energy of this full moon, what can I let go of? And of course, that can be physically. So it may well be that, like me, you need to do a shed load of decluttering. It literally is a shed load and a floor drobe and everything else. So desperate for a declutter. But it's too hot, right? But it might be that you need to do a physical declutter, or it might be an emotional declutter, or it might be a detox of your friends and associates who are just, you know, that expression, are they radiators or are they drains? You know, just detox yourself from people who don't inspire you, who don't support your growth. I know it's not always easy if they're family members, but absolutely release what's blocking you. Release the blocks. That's really, I think, the energy of this full moon. Just get that sense of what feels like a block here. And what do I want? Comes back to that fabulous question. What do I want? How can I forge new pathways? Just become curious. How can I forge the new pathways towards the outcome that I want, towards the purpose I want to live for, towards the environment I want to be in, towards the state of health that I want to be in, towards the level of sobriety that I want, towards the self-love, you know, whatever it is for you. Because, you know, the truth of it is often we don't slow down enough to ask ourselves these questions. We just fire on at a great rate. We don't actually take the time to work with our sense of intuition and the energies of the moon. That's what I loved about Davina's chat last week. She really made me realise, I've been banging on about this stuff forever, but just because I talk about it doesn't mean I always put it in practice, right? I'm as guilty as the next person of just racing through everything and rarely stopping to pause and actually take stock. And when you do, when you listen to your intuition, when you listen to, you know, moon energies, when you notice what's going on, I know it all sounds tremendously cosmic. It is, literally. But who cares? It really makes a difference when you work with it, when you kind of surrender to it and accept, okay, well, this is, these feelings of high energy and emotion, I'm not going to let it overpower me. I'm going to use the energy to allow me to do something that, you know, releases the blocks and declutters and whatever else, and to focus with that energy on what I want for the future and be really honest about what's getting in the way. And if that is another person, then, you know, you kind of might need to gently not call them back or whatever it is. Obviously, if it's alcohol, well, you know, kind of obvious. This is a great time. Get it out of your life. You really, really do not need that in your life. On that note, I'm going to read you a few posts that I've seen in the Sober Club recently, and then I'm going to share a few more tips with you around sort of limiting beliefs and stuff that Bloxers. Just before I do that, sorry, I'm going off on lots of tangents, but just before I do that, quick reminder that there, I think we've got one place on Sober by the Sea, so if you find yourself unexpectedly available on Sunday 21st, it's a very tiny group. We create a vision board, so it's very relevant to what I'm talking about now for what we want for the future. It's a really lovely kind of intimate little group where we just focus on what we want and what we have chosen, what our values are, what and loads of people have never thought about it before. We're very friendly. It's very informal. And just drop me a message if it's of interest, or go to thesoberclub.com and click on events. And then just another reminder that the Sober Club coach training is the first part of the course of the training is the September 30th, 1st of October. That's the in-person part of the training. But then we continue with several weeks online, ongoing mentoring and support. It includes one-to-one coaching as well. So it's amazing for personal transformation and a whole host of incredible guest expert teachers as well. So you won't find anything as comprehensive though I say so myself, in this sober coach, self-care kind of training field. So drop me a message if that sounds like you and we can have a chat. So what's been going on in the Sober Club this week has been really interesting. I reckon lots of other people have been suffering from those same energies of being overwhelmed. Now I realise that. I realise why there have been perhaps more than usual messages from people kind of baring their soul and feeling, you know, just kind of letting it all out there. The good thing about the Sober Club, in case you've not heard me speak about it, is that we've got people who are on day one or sober curious, they're trying to crack this thing. But we've got people who are year six, year seven of sobriety, and that's where the magic lies. We are so there to support each other. We've all been there, done it, got the T-shirt. So we know what this feels like, and we do remember back. And that's why so many different people at so many different stages can be hugely helpful to inspire people and to just kind of cheerlead them and for other people to say, do you know what, sweetheart, I felt like that too. It's okay. You will get through it. but there have been a bunch of messages this week where people are, well, just thinking negatively is what it boils down to, kind of beating themselves up. And I thought I'd just pick out a piece of this one. I'm not identifying anyone, of course, but this person here said, I feel as though I shouldn't post because I'm such a failure. I can't seem to get it together. Most of you guys seem to be winning at life. I don't know if I should stay in the Sober Club. I'm ashamed that it's August, but I'm still battling day ones. My word for the year ahead was hope, but all I've done is seem to keep myself stuck in wine hell, which is not at all hopeful. So I'm miserable and anxious, bit of a mess, and drinking isn't helping. You're all so inspiring, and I dream of being all the big sober number of days. But the 5 and 6 p.m. trigger is so damn strong. How can I turn that bitch off in my head that thinks drinking is okay? It's like a broken record. And I thought that was such a powerful post. And we do see that from time to time with people kind of saying, oh, I don't know if I should stay part of this community because I can't crack this thing the same way you guys are. And you know what? This is what holds us all back. We get into this pattern of, oh, I'm not good enough. I can't do this. Everyone else can do it, but I can't. There's something wrong with me. And there really is nothing wrong with you. I'm going to read some of the replies in a moment. But just to say, if you haven't heard it already, please go back. If this is you, if you really identify with this broken record thing and you keep going back to these you know, goddamn day ones, have a listen to the podcast that I did with Dr. Addie Jaffe some time ago. I think it was probably at the beginning of the year. Such a powerful conversation about how we need to quit with the beating ourselves up. It needs to stop. We don't do it about anything else, actually, you know, other than for more than a sentence or two. You know, we really don't. If we go on a diet and then we, you know, we break the diet and we have a biscuit, you know, we don't go, oh, right, that's it. You know, I'll never diet again, or I'll go right back to the beginning of the diet and do the fasting phase again, or whatever the hell. We don't do this in any walk of life. We don't speak to colleagues when they, you know, mess up in the workplace. We don't speak to children, hopefully, unkindly, you know, when they have some little slip up or they do something they said they weren't going to. You know, we're human, for God's sake. And Adi Jaffrey's take on this is really powerful. I'd really urge you to have a listen. So that's number one. I'm not condoning that everyone should just constantly relapse. Of course I'm not. But we do have to quit with the beating ourselves up and the negative thinking. I'll come back to that in a moment. But I thought I'd read you some of the replies here because they're, you know, these are wise words, these people in the Sober Club, all at different stages. But just listen to the level of support. And I hope that, because they put it so much better than I could, and most of them, but I really hope that something of this resonates with you if you're early stages in stopping drinking or indeed trying to make any behaviour change. Because God knows, those of us that stopped drinking a while ago, often we're on to the next thing now. We do want to quit the sugar, or we do want to quit cigarettes, or we do want to get rid of toxic relationships in our life, or we do, or whatever it is, you know, detox from being on our phone all the goddamn time, whatever it is for you. If you are that person who constantly seeks pleasure, I mean, who isn't? You know, we're dopamine seekers, aren't we, as former drinkers? Bigger, better, faster, more, you know. If you're that person, then that you can apply these same techniques and these same wonderful words of advice to whatever you're trying to do when you think you're failing, right? It's that thing of, it's not, you know, don't see it as failure, see it as an opportunity, okay? So listen to some of these lovely answers. And again, I'm not going to identify anybody, but just some of the replies that came in to that post. So one person said, a big high five to you for admitting the struggle. Your picture totally resonates. I had so many stops and starts, but bit by bit, drip by drip, the penny dropped and my alcohol terrorist, that's a great expression, was not controlling my life anymore. I watched every documentary going. Shock Factor helped me. I surrounded myself with audiobooks, podcasts and anything sobriety related. So just for today, don't pick up that booze. Fast forward to the next morning and keep posting. I mean, that's brilliant advice, isn't it? Stay immersed in this stuff. You do need to know the logic. It's super important that you know just how terrible alcohol is. Don't buy into any of that BS about it being good for you and one won't hurt. Yeah, it actually will. Listen to the podcast the week before last with Dr. Anya Toppy-Waller. You know, it's official. Alcohol is bad for you in any quantity ever. Next reply is, if you're struggling, then please don't leave the Sober Club. Being in this group is the best thing you can do. It's not a competition or a race. We're all moving along and helping each other. Some post of their victories, some of their relapses and more day ones. You're not alone. You're not without hope. I have the most terrible drinking habit that nearly drove away my family. But after many failed attempts, I got it. As a wise woman once said, that'll be me. Keep the ritual, change the ingredients. I am more excited about 6 p.m. now than in my drinking days. I'm getting into mocktails and I mix myself one every evening. I've got the shakers, the glasses, the fruit, the parasols and all the alcohol-free versions of all the other ingredients. So find something that tickles your fancy. If you are more of a stick than a carrot sort of person, then study the serious and sometimes fatal health consequences of drinking even one glass of wine. And as this poster says here, as I just said, you could start with Janie's podcast with Dr. Anya Toppy-Waller from the 29th of July. It scared me witless and I've been sober 3 years. But whatever you do, don't be alone in the struggle, because the big alcohol producers have a limitless marketing budget to try and ensnare us. We are all stronger together in the battle that they bring to us daily. So take care and keep posting. Isn't that great? I mean, it really, really does sum it up so brilliantly. Here's another reply. Somebody said, fantastic advice already, so I'm just going to say bloody well done you for posting. It took courage. You could easily have just said, oh, sod it, but you didn't. I'm guessing because the voice in your head that is the good witch knows how badly you want to be alcohol free, but also knows you can do it and believes in you. We've all been where you are now. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in the Sober Club and on this group. We're all at different stages, which is so cool. I could have written this post exactly in my early days, and now I'm on 960 days. So believe me when I say, trust the process. And by the way, that phrase enraged me in the early days, but it's what got me there, and you can too. And then I'll just read you one more, which, I mean, there were obviously masses of responses, but here's one more. You absolutely are not a failure. Alcohol is extremely persuasive, addictive, manipulative, seductive. It's a right bitch. I've had so many day ones. Take all the advice above. Keep having a go and keep on talking to this group. I'm a number of months in now, and if it wasn't for this group, I may well still have allowed myself a glass of wine on my recent holiday, but I had a plan and I had support from Sober Club members. So you have a plan and keep on talking to us. Isn't that great? Such great support and great advice, really. And, you know, please, if you are connected to a group, whether it's a Sober Club or any group, don't leave because you think your inverted commas failing. Don't retreat, in the other sense of that word, when things are getting tough. That's when you need the support, right? You really, really need the support when you think things are at their most tricky. So the other thing I thought I'd share with you is to say, I'm not going to run a guest this week. I'm just going to I just kept thinking, you know what, there's something I just really want to share on this podcast. So I thought I'd just do it and not get it caught up with other topics. So, yeah, the podcast's a little shorter this week. But, hey, you know, at least I'm not on holiday. It's August, right? I do have holidays, but I still bring you the podcast. But anyways, I wanted to share this with you. It's something that I've been kind of ruminating about for absolutely ages. The ideas that we have around negative thinking and how we beat ourselves up in our mind, which is kind of what I've just been talking about, of course, and how we can get free from that negative thinking. But of course, we can't ever really get free from it, can we? It doesn't happen, does it? We can't actually completely turn off the inner critic and the voice in the head and the old associations that can sometimes pop up out of absolutely nowhere, and anything can trigger it. That was exactly what happened to me at the beginning of the week. Something triggered some old memories in me where, you know, I wasn't proud of myself for something in the past, which, you know, I do believe I'm exonerated, as it were, now, but God, in the past, seriously not. And something triggered that. And it really hurt me. It really hurt me. But instead of just kind of sitting with that emotion, I went off on one and got completely overwhelmed and had a massive wobble. I allowed the negative thinking to, well, just flood in, really, and start to overwhelm me before I caught myself. And then it was just after that that I caught one of Russell Brand's chats, videos, if you like. I love Russell. I mean, I love Russell Brand. But this little video, it's amazing, isn't it, how things pop up out of nowhere. I wasn't looking for it. Things just pop up when you need them. And it was just one of Russell's videos where he talks about exactly this, how we beat ourselves up. As he said, there's enough going on that's terrible without beating yourself up in the privacy of your own head, right? So he's talking in this video about how we berate ourselves, about the impulse of self-loathing, because that's what it is, right? And he quotes Eckhart Tolle, who says, who at one point apparently said, "I cannot live with myself any longer." And Russell talks in this little video. He reminded me again, we forget this stuff, particularly for ourselves. I'm great at remembering this stuff when I'm coaching clients, but when it comes back to me and my big old wobbles, more sense than one, I'm not very good at remembering that there are parts to us. We have different parts to us. We do. And that's okay. And as I've said so many times, you are not your thoughts. You are not the negative thoughts. But what you can become is the awareness. You can become the awareness of that part of you. We can actually step outside of ourselves and observe. And when we can do that, it changes everything. It just allows that a more kind of balanced approach. So rather than being berating ourselves, because once I'd realised what I was doing, then I went into another kind of rant with myself. Like, oh my God, I'm allowing myself to get this overwhelmed and this upset again. Right. So we start berating ourselves again. But instead, what we can do, if we can capture this and put the pause in and remind ourselves, is just pause and observe ourselves. What I needed to do much earlier on in my little wobble at the beginning of the week was just step aside and say, oh, look at Janie, you know, there she goes again. She's off on one again. She's overwhelmed again. She's thinking it's all about her again. All that negative old crap again. So instead of becoming obsessed by what it is, obsessed by the sadness and making it your actual identity, or the anger or the guilt or the shame or whatever the hell it is, making it your identity, we can observe. So if it's drinking that's the issue still for you, instead of constantly beating yourself up, as that person was doing really in that post that I read out, say, oh, I think I failed. I don't know if I should even post here. You're all doing so well. I'm a complete failure. Instead of becoming obsessed and immersed in that emotion, we can just acknowledge that there is a part of us that is going through this very strong emotion. Notice what it is. You know, that person's human. That part is human. We can observe it. We know that it's painful. You know, we have to accept these emotions are not always great. So this emotion that we're feeling, embarrassment, shame, guilt, fury at ourselves, the almost just kind of, it's that kind of what the hell, what's wrong with me kind of emotion. Know that we're alive if we can feel this stuff, but step aside, observe it. We don't have to yield to it. That was the phrase that Russell said. I thought that was brilliant. He said, you know, we can observe, we can become the awareness, but we don't have to yield to it. Right. And when we can do that, when we can step aside and we can observe that negative thinking, we can observe the limiting beliefs about ourselves. We recognize that we are thinking very limiting beliefs about ourselves. The, oh, I'll never do this. Oh, what's wrong with me? There's something wrong with me. I'll never be able to stop drinking. I'll never be able to quit sugar. I'll never be as good, in inverted commas. I'll never do this. The always and the never are always the difficult words you have to look at, right? But when you can start to just notice, that's when you can start to awaken, right? Because you can actually realize, okay, I see that now. I can observe that now. I see that part. But that part of you is not who you are in totality. I loved the fact that Russell reminded me of this because I was caught up in it again, you know? So to overcome that negative thinking, yes, we need to notice it. Of course we do. That's why things like journaling can be so amazing. I've had a client this week who swore that she, you know, didn't enjoy writing things down. But when we got her journaling, doing that, you know, the fabulous morning pages kind of thing, three pages, stream of consciousness, she found that actually, you know what, it feels pretty cathartic. Get that stuff out, literally, warts and all, get it onto paper. Some of the thoughts may be thoughts that you genuinely do not want to think. And then it does become interesting because you find yourself with your pen poised above the paper. You've committed to writing down every thought. And the next one that comes in, the thought that follows that is, oh, I'm not going to write that one down. I'm not even going to go there. Oh, well, excuse me, that's the one that needs writing down. You know, as Louise Hay said, you can't clean the house till you can see the dirt. So she started journaling and found it actually quite cathartic. When you can let it out, when you can acknowledge it, you can see it. And you can recognize, okay, I can have awareness of this, but it's not who I am. I don't have to identify with it. I can hear it. I can see it. I can recognize that part of me. I can look to whether I can, there's any healing needs to be done. You know that I do work with something called matrix re-imprinting, which is very difficult to describe, but amazing work, and also family constellations. And sometimes there's healing to be done. But sometimes it's just a case of recognizing that you've just spent the last 20 minutes beating yourself up or having a conversation in the privacy of your own head that is so unhelpful, right? So to overcome this negative thinking, to overcome these limiting beliefs, acknowledge them, hear them, but don't identify with them. And, you know, and do all of this with self-love and compassion. Do all of this without judgment. And of course, if you do want to know how to acknowledge, you know, these really unhelpful thoughts and how to deal with them, then you'll have to, if you haven't already, watch my TED talk. The very last sentence tells you exactly how you can deal with negative thoughts and particularly the wine witch. So check it out. Sobriety Rocks. Who knew? If you just type onto YouTube, TEDx talk, Janie Lee Grace, or Sobriety Rocks, who knew, you'll find that TEDx talk. The answer to how you can deal with the wine witch, or how you can deal with negative thinking, is the very last sentence of my TED talk. So if you haven't seen it already, that's your homework for this week. Thank you so much for listening. And I do have some great guests coming up. Don't worry, I haven't run out of guests. In fact, I'm interviewing Alex Howard soon. Really looking forward to that interview. He's a leading trauma expert. And we're going to have a really interesting chat, I think, because, of course, trauma, whether it's big T or little T, is what tends to lie behind all of this stuff for most of us. So it's going to be an interesting conversation as to how trauma meets with addiction. Obviously, goes without saying, if you're doing this, I'm proud of you. Thank you for listening to the podcast and stay connected. Obviously, I'd love you to join the Sober Club. It's just thesoberclub.com. Check it out. Follow me on Instagram, social media. Share the podcast. Make sure you encourage your friends to listen in. And I'll see you same time next week. And don't overheat, all right? Although, you know, slightly easier when you're not drinking. See you later. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.